Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give us clean hands and a pure heart, Lord God. Glory, glory. It's very important that we have a clean hands and a pure heart. Hallelujah. Paul asked a very specific question. And we would ask that question right after we pray. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer before we start. Most precious and holy Father, in the name of Jesus, from whom all blessings come, O Lord God, we surrender everything that we have today, right now, personal and everything, Father God, unto you. We give unto you everything, Lord. We know that you are the only God, the only Savior, the only creator of heaven and earth. We want to thank you that you are mindful of us and brought us once again to the study in your word, O Father God, this Thursday. Hallelujah. Lord, Father God, let everything that is said and done bring you glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, look upon those that are behind the scenes, oh Lord. You don't see them. You don't hear from them, Father God, but they're making a way out of no way to make sure that this program goes out of the airs. And I just want to thank you, Father God, that you said you was doing a new thing. And Lord, Father God, let your word be planted in people's heart, Father God, that they don't sin against you, and that they'll be accepted to be received and to be contacted by the Holy Spirit, Father God, so that he could bring them closer unto you so they too could be saved. They too could be born again. They too could be born, be baptized of the Holy Spirit. They too could be a witness for Christ. Glory be, hallelujah. Father God, let this word, which is going out via the computer internationally, Lord Father God, I pray that you touch somebody's heart. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, let this not fall on bad ground, but let it fall on good ground, Father God. Let them bring forth hundredfold, Father God, as they tell others about your goodness, O Lord God. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, Lord, we repent of all our commission and omission sins, Lord. Father God, cleanse us with the precious blood of the Lamb. We want to be like you. We want to be holy and we want to be righteous. Like the song said, oh, Father God, we want clean hands and a pure heart. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, so we could be among the brethren who are called, destined, predestination, Father God, and chosen by you to be part of the Iglesia. Father God, in the name of Jesus, carry us through, Father God. We can't do this on our own. We need you to help us, to lead us, Father God, the words that you want us to say, Father God, regarding what we study. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be, glory be. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle. That's your host here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and then press number one to be connected with the host. And we will entertain questions, comments, or testimonies regarding the issue that we're dealing with. And what we're dealing with, the topic is Christianity real? This is part four. We're going to talk about a little about power. Glory be, hallelujah. If you want to contact the church, you could always email the church at wtltabernacle@gmail.com. I'll say it again. You can contact the church via email at wtltabernacle@gmail.com. Or if you have the time, you can call the pastor's cell phone number after the program at 772-626-3178, and we will conversate regarding what we have the teachings on. Glory. Today we're teaching on Is Christianity Real? Part number four, the power. Like I said earlier, Paul asks a question, and we all have to answer, because what we're going to be touching on, there's a change. Something is about to happen. As you know, giving you a little background, Jesus Christ went through the week of Passion. He died. He was buried. He resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, and we find that in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That's what we should be preaching. That's the gospel. But then what happens, he stayed with the disciples for about 40 days, it says in the scripture, Acts chapter 1. He stays with them 40 days, and he's teaching them. He's speaking about him, and he's showing them stuff that at first they didn't want to believe. You know, he showed them his wounds that he got at the cross, in the hands and the feet. The puncture wound that he received from the spear on his side, the wounds he had on his back, the wounds he had on his scalp, glory be. He showed them himself, the Bible says, with infallible proofs. Glory be, glory be. He even ate with them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He appeared to them about three times, and then he ascended into heaven. But before he ascended to heaven, he reminded them of what he taught them earlier. He reminded them of what was going to take place next. And what happened was, even though Jesus Christ knew that he was on the road towards Golgotha, he would teach his disciples, and he would talk about the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the one that will be sent to them. And he will be with them and in them to guide them and direct them, because Jesus was going to ascend to heaven. He was going to sit at the right hand of the of our God, and he was going to continue to intercede for us, because he fulfilled his assignment here on earth. When he fulfilled it, he said, "It is finished." At the same time that the high priest, when he offered up the blood of the lamb in the Holy of Holies, came out to the people and said, it is finished. So the assignment that Jesus had was completed. But he promised the disciples he was not going to leave them alone. He was going to send back the Comforter. Glory be, glory be. So here's a little interaction, and I would like for you, when you have the opportunity, to read the first two chapters of the book of Acts, just to get you acquainted with what happened on that week. I want you to know that the apostles, disciples, were not left alone. Something happened. Glory to the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, a sound like a mighty rushing wind came in from heaven and sat upon each of them like cloven tongues. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Glory be, glory be. So Jesus did not leave them alone. He ascended and sent back the Holy Spirit right away. Did not leave them alone because they were going to go and do, like he said, greater works. And the only way they could be able to do the great works is by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to read two verses from chapter 1. And then I'm going to go into the explanation of it. Chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. It says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. So Jesus spoke to them a lot about the promise, the Comforter. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Hallelujah. So that's the promise there that he gave them. And that's going to be a change, because with the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside, the Bible says that they turned the world upside down. Glory be to the Lord. Where it says, but you shall wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. And then he goes on to say the other things. We're looking at a Greek word. It's in the English translation, is said lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O. And in the Strong's Concordance, it would be 2983. That's a word for power. Lombardo. But what kind of power that he's talking there about? It was the power of receiving and the agreement to receive. When you look up the word on your computer and you look up lombardo, it gives you many, many, many different things regarding lombardo. One of the things it talks about, it's found in the description of Lombardo, 2983, number 4, where it says to take, to admit, receive, to receive, not to refuse or reject, to receive, to regard anyone's power, rank, eternal circumstance, to accept the person. And we know to accept the person, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. You could grieve him. He smiles. He has eyes and ears. He walks and talks, and he directs. And Jesus said one of his main functions was to remember us of the words that Jesus says, and to lift up Jesus. So you have to receive the Holy Spirit in order to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So the question that Paul said was, don't you know that your temple, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Glory, 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 glory. Let me say that again. Paul said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, we know that the Holy Spirit was with Jesus. The Spirit manifested himself when Jesus was baptized. He manifested himself as a dove. But you and I, brothers and sisters, we might not see in the Spirit. We have to ask God for that blessing. Lord, open up my spiritual eyes so you could see, and you will be able to see the angels and your enemy. You're going to be able to see the things of the Lord, that how he's working on your behalf. At this time in our life, we don't know Christ after the flesh, but we know him after the Spirit. The Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And the only way that we could be the sons of God is because Jesus Christ gave his body as a sacrifice and shed his precious blood on the cross for us, so we could be redeemed, so we could be washed, so the guilt and the penalty of sin could be taken away, so we could be sanctified. Glory be. But in order to do that, the word here regarding lambado, it says to accept the person, to accept the person. And it gives you a lot of references. One of them is Luke 20:21. Another one is Galatians 2:6. Another one is Leviticus 19:15, Malachi 2:9, Deuteronomy 10:17, Job 32:22. It all talking about accepting the person. So we accept the person of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And when we do that, something happens. We're no longer the same. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, he that's in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the way man sees you from the past is not the way God sees you now. You're a different person. And it could only be because the Holy Spirit drew you and you were saved and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so just as you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received the Holy Spirit as the Comforter, Paracletus, which is another Greek word, meaning that he's going to be alongside of you and in you. So he's going to guide you. And sometimes, if you go back to the episode that occurred with Elijah, and he went to the mountaintop, to Mount Carmel, and he was looking for the Lord. He said he's not in the storm. He's not in the thundering, the sound, the loud noise. He says, but a small, still, small voice spoke to him. So the Holy Spirit is like that, brothers and sisters. There are times where you'll be doing some things and the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit. And there's something that you know you heard it. You know that you have to do the opposite of what the flesh is telling you to do, and it's the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you. Because just like Eliezer, if you remember Eliezer, he went from Abraham to get Isaac a bride. Eliezer took 9 camels with gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You can read that in Galatians chapter 5. And then, the Holy Spirit, just like Eliezer, just continue to follow and direct the bride to his master, to Isaac, that when she saw him, she came off the horse, and he looked and he took her to his mother's tent. And it's just something else when, you take your bride and you take her somewhere. Forget about it. It's something else. He took her to his mother's tent, and that was a blessing. It's like taking your wife on your honeymoon, taking them to the Greek hotel, motel. Is difference between a 5-star hotel. You know what I'm saying? And so, plus there's a respect there that he did when he took her to his mother's house. Glory be, hallelujah. And, you know, indirectly he was telling her, I'm going to love you like I love my mom. And so just like Eliezer guided her in the right direction, the Holy Spirit guides us in the right direction because we are the bride of Christ. And one day we're going to see him for who he is, and we're going to be just like him, and there's going to be a wedding, Lord. There's going to be a Seder meal. There's going to be the Beaver Seat where we're going to go, and then we're going to come and reign with him here on earth for a millennium. Glory be to the Lord. So first we have to do a lambano, which is to receive. We have the power. The Holy Spirit guides in the direction. We have that power to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then the Father promised the Holy Spirit, and Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would also come, and he would change us. And so let's read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And let's see what it says. Chapter 1 of the Acts, verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now that word is power, and it's the Concordance number 1411. Glory be, 1411. And it talks about the dunamis power. It's where we get the word dynamite. And it's miraculous power, something that you're able to do because of the Holy Spirit. You pray for somebody who's injured and they recover from the injury. You know, so you pray for somebody who's blind and all of a sudden they could see. It's that power of the Holy Ghost in you. Not that you did anything. It's God who's doing the healing. We depend upon him for everything. We are just conduits for the power of God to be used so the other person could know that God is watching over them and taking care of them through the power. Now, that word power in the Greek is dunamis, and the number is 1411 in the Strong's Concordance. It's used about 120 times in the New Testament, loosely. The word refers to strength, power, or ability. It is the root word of the English words dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. Glory be to the Lord. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and when you baptize with the Holy Spirit, and you are sincere with Jesus Christ, and you're praying, and you're fasting, and you're doing what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, your encounter with other people is going to be different. Like, I'll give you an example. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we all are dead in our sins. So when the Holy Spirit uses you with the words of the Lord, and a person receives Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, well, you just resurrected the dead. That person was dead in their sins, but through the power of the Holy Ghost in you and in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the ability, you have the power, you have the strength to give that person life again. Glory be. But it's something that occurs only because we are sincere with God. We have given ourselves to the Lord, and we have not taken it for granted. We are sincere. That's why that song was so appropriate for today. Give us clean hands and a pure heart. And it's only through clean hands and a pure heart will the Holy Spirit work in us and through us in order for the other person to be healed the way God wants them to be healed so he can receive all the glory. glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that is dunamis power, and we're going to go to the other part, dunamis power, that Greek word power, 2983. So it could break down into two, right? The first one that we spoke about was dunamis. That's a noun in the Greek 1411 in the concordance. Now we're going to go into the verb part of it. And you know, verb is an action word. And the Greek word there, the word lambada could also be spoken of exousios power, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. Let me just spell dunamis for you, D-U-N-A-M-I-S, 1411. Here now we go into exousios power. In the Greek Strong's Accordance, it's 1849. It's a Greek word most often translated as authority or power. It is especially used in terms of moral influence. Exousios power can also be thought of in terms of jurisdiction or dominion over a certain realm of right, privilege, or ability. Glory be to the Lord. That'll be found in Luke 10:19, and that's going to be 18:49, and we're going to read. Let me make sure I have. That'll be Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Praise God. The word of God says, behold, I give unto you power, 18:49, to tread on serpents and of scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, the first power, 1849, talks about exousios power. It says that Jesus Christ, he gave us authority in his name. The Bible says in Philippians 2 that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. However, we see another word here that is used, power also. It says the power of the enemy. But it's 1411, the power of doing things where the enemy wants to deceive people with miraculous power. But you have, in the name of Jesus Christ, power and authority to stop that. If you remember the episode where Paul and I believe Silas were coming into the town, and the young lady who was a witch, was making money for the masses because of her speaking things that people were doing, speaking in words, you know, like what she was saying. These men speak of the power, or these men speak of the Lord, and you know, some things she said was true. But what happens after a while, you know something is not right. And that's what happened. Paul turned around, rebuked that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, and it left her. And then the owner wanted to sue the apostles, wanted to bring trouble to the apostles because she no longer could perform the task that he asked her. She no longer could have brought in money the way he wanted. And that's because Paul spoke with authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's the same thing with us, brothers and sisters. The enemy's attacking you when you're sleeping. The enemy's attacking you just before you sleep, and you're weak in your mind. you're weak in your body, well, you have the authority in the name of Jesus Christ because you was baptized with the Holy Spirit to speak to that thing and bind it. So let's say you get tempted with pornography, sexual immorality. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you, spirit of pornography, spirit of sexual immorality, cast you into the dry places for you never to return again. In the name of Jesus Christ, you see, you're using the name of Jesus Christ. You have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we have that authority? Because we are the sons and daughters of God, and we were baptized in the Holy Spirit, who is Christ. You have to understand that that's Jesus Christ who's in you. The Bible says Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you pronounce his name, and the enemy have to be obedient to that name. And that is exousia's power, the authority to speak in his name. That is an action verb, and the Strong's Greek number is 1849. Glory be, glory be. Hallelujah. Thank you. The other word, dunamis power, is the ability to do miraculous things. Glory be. And then Strong's Greek concordance number is 1411. And God would continue to use his people the way that he wants to. Not the way that we want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so, we have to understand that God did not leave us alone. Just like he told the disciples that they were to wait for the promise of the Father, we don't have to wait like they did. You know, some churches, they would do a waiting at the altar for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Look, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. What we need to do is be sincere with God and receive him as the Lord and Savior, and he will give you, he will speak to you with stammering lips, other tongues. Now, there's two different types of tongues, my brother, and I'm not going to go deep into it. I'm just going to give you a little description. You have tongues that you receive when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, and that's the tongue you use to edify yourself. When you're praying, you know, you're speaking in your natural language, then you're speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. But there's another tongues. It's a gift of tongues that the Holy Spirit chooses whom he will to speak in tongues with a message. And either that person or somebody else has a gift of interpretation. That is for the whole church. Now, we understand one thing, that tongues is for the believing brother and sister for edification. Prophecy is for the unbeliever for edification. Correction. Let me correct that. That was an error. Everything was in backwards. Tongues is for the unbeliever. When they hear a person speaking in tongues, and then there's an interpreter, and comes forth with a message, and it verifies what's in their heart, the Holy Spirit will cause them to believe. For the believer, there is prophecy. We hear the prophecy. We know that through the word of God, the prophecy is given. And at some point, that prophecy is fulfilled. And both will be edified. Both the unbeliever will be edified by tongues and interpretation, and the believer by prophecy and its fulfillment. We want to thank the Lord for that, because that is the way it is, brothers and sisters. But there is sometimes you go to services, and I'm not, God forgive me, I don't want, no one's taken the wrong way, but sometimes people go off and they speak in tongues, you know, which is okay, but where's the interpreter? There's no interpretation. I witnessed one day when I was in Brooklyn Tap, a lady, she began speaking in tongues, and the pastor stopped her because he recognized that it was not of God. And whatever she was doing, it was the enemy, the devil using her. And, you know, people might say, oh, beautiful thing, that's tongues. However, it wasn't edifying no one. So the pastor stopped her, told her, sister, hold your peace. And she had to stop because it was of the flesh. It was not of the Spirit of God. Had it been the Spirit of God, then she would have completed her speaking in tongues with the interpretation to earth. But when he says to her, stop, and she stops immediately because of her flesh, then you know that that portion of her speaking in tongues was not of God. And God gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. He gives us authority against the works of the enemy. Because it could have been that that person was speaking in tongues, and it could have brought confusion to some of the members in the church. Most importantly, the young Christians. If they don't study their word, then what happens is the enemy comes in, and it begins doing certain things you think that is of God, and all of a sudden it's not of God, and it brings confusion. Like some places you might hear replacement theology, and that is false teaching. The church has not replaced the Jewish nation, Israel. If you read 1 Corinthians 10:32, glory be. I'll read it to you because it is the word of God, and I don't want you to be confused. I want you to understand what does the word of God says. Hear what is here, 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give no offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Give no offense. Now, that word offense could be different things, you know, that could bring forth negative particles. A presumed derivative of G4350, actively in offense that is not leading into sin, passive faultiness that is not leading into sin, void of, without offense. And that's what the Holy Spirit says through Paul. We are not to give offense to neither of the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. If the church replaced the Jews, as some people teach replacement theology, this verse would never have been written down by the Holy Spirit, because it mentions the Jews, it mentions the Gentiles, and it mentions the church of God. All three existing at one time. Hallelujah. And we know the church is made up of those one new man, Jews and Gentiles alike, and we make up the church, the call-out ones, the Iglesia. He explains that people are not to give offense to the Jews, that's one nation, to the Gentiles, that's a different nation. Why? Because together they become the church of God. So you have to be very careful when you hear somebody speaking and they're giving false testimony. You know, the church has now replaced the Jewish nation. God is still giving the Jewish nation an opportunity. The word of God tells us that there's part blindness had come to the Jews because it allowed the Gentiles to be saved. Through their unbelief, salvation came to us. And one day, when the Jews and then Gentiles, the church of God, gets caught up, Jews and Gentiles will be on this earth. And many will turn unto the Lord. There'll be a great revival, the Bible says. there'll be a great falling away, but there's going to be a great revival. There's going to be a great repentance of what's, you know, when they see these things happening upon the people of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going today is Thursday, 6 p.m. to 7. Sunday is our Bible mystery, and we're going to be presenting our program at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. Glory be to the Lord. And we're going to be talking about what are the seven stars and the seven candlesticks. That's Sunday. What are the seven candlesticks and what are the seven stars? And then Tuesday, I hope you understood. If you came on board on this past Tuesday, you heard me tell you that the time of prayer has been changed from 6 p.m. to 3 a.m. That's the beginning of the fourth watch. The Holy Spirit had impressed upon me for us to pray at that time. And God knows what he wants to do as we pray, as we join others in prayer at that time. There's many people who pray in the morning hours. We're going to pray. If you remember, Jesus went by himself to pray at the fourth watch. So we're going to join him. And then next Thursday, we're going to continue studying this power. But now we're going to break it down into seven things. We spoke about lambano power, which is to receive the Holy Spirit. We have the power to receive the Holy Spirit. And then once we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, we have exousios power and we have dunamis power. Exousios power is the authority we have in the name of Jesus Christ. And dunamis power is the ability to do the miraculous when the Holy Spirit touches us to do these things. We don't do this on our own. We are dependent upon God. Next Thursday, we're going to talk about the power of God. But seven things happen when we get born again, when we get born again in the name of Jesus Christ. There is power of change. Something happens. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the word of God. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. Power in the Holy Spirit. There is power in the resurrection. There is power of God in witnessing. Those are the seven subtopics that we're going to talk about. And that brings us to the conclusion of is Christianity real? So we're going to test this power and see if things happen, if things change, you know, and see. And then we should be able to answer the question, is Christianity real? We know we talked about the power, lombardo power, power that we that Christ gave us. He said to wait for the promise of the Father, which he spoke about. And then the Holy Spirit baptized us, and we received exclusive power, authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And we received dunamis power, the ability to do the miraculous. Not in our name, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do it by faith. Everything that we do is by faith. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So next Thursday, we're going to begin our power of change subtopic. We're going to talk about what happens at the change. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me just give you... Phone number is 516-418-5944. You look for the number sign, you press that, then you look for number one. You want to be contact the host, which is the way, the truth, and the life tabernacle. And you'll be able to answer questions, comments, or testimonies. Or you could answer, we could speak about the powers that we spoke about today. You could email the church if you like at WTL, lowercase, WTL, Tabernacle, TABERNACLE, at gmail.com. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You want to speak directly to the pastor, Pastor Ramos, I leave my phone open. You call 772-626-3178, and we'll go conversate regarding the lessons for today or the prior lessons. And if you have any questions or comments or directions that you're looking for, then we're going to have the Holy Spirit who's going to give us the guidance and directions. Hallelujah. One thing that you have to understand, the host, when you call, or if you call me, or you email, everything is going to be done biblically. Your answers will be from the Bible. It will not be anything from us. It will be from the Bible, what God says. You know, and then if you don't agree with what God says, I would guide you to pray about it, take it to the Lord in prayer, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you, and give you understanding of the subject that you have or the question that you have, and he will give you an answer. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to be back on Sunday night for our Bible mystery. And we just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you into all truth. Don't forget, Sunday you should visit your church, because the Bible tells us, you know, that men have us forsaken the assembly of themselves. You don't want to forsake the assembly of yourself. You want to be a partaker of services. The primary reason why we go to church is to worship our Lord and our Savior. I would encourage you to go to Sunday school. That's how you learn the Bible more and more and more as you study. Then you go to the services. And, you know, when you can, you talk to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I'm here. How can I be used for the kingdom of God?" And you know, whatever it is that God uses you for, then that's what you're going to do. Until you get elevated. God is good. God is wonderful. Amen. Any questions that you might have, you can call Blog Talk Radio now, 516-418-5944. Press the number sign and number one to speak with the host. You could also send your question via email to the church, lowercase WTL Tabernacle at gmail.com. Or if there's something urgent that you want to talk to the pastor about, you could call 772-626-3178. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And until Sunday, where we meet again at 6 o'clock, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen.